Mic check. Testing mic. Am I clear? Do you hear me? Okay, thank you. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Today is February 18, 2023. I invite you to pray before we start. Let's all kneel if you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, we humbly bow down before Thee to worship and glorify Your holy name, for You alone are worthy to be praised. Thank You so much for another opportunity that we can gather together freely this Holy Sabbath day. Please be with us today through Your Holy Spirit. May we feel Your holy presence, Lord. Please guide my tongue and all who will speak in Your behalf today. Please forgive us for all the sins we have committed against Thee. Grant us peace and joy as we worship You this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So our study is entitled Homeward Bound. The study note is posted in the text chat, so you can follow along. And those who are in the WTPR, just type in your browser sdrmovement.org/note/02-18-23.html. Our first text is found in Philippians 3:20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The word conversation in this text means citizenship. In Strong's 4175, and this word, take note, occurs only once in KJV, in the Bible. The word look for means to expect fully or wait for in Strong's 553. In other words, as obedient followers of Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, and we fully wait for the return of our Lord Jesus. All honest and true Christians who accepted our Lord Jesus as His personal Savior understand this wonderful truth. Titus 2:11-14 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." The saving grace of God has appeared to all men and taught us to live a holy and perfect life, and to avoid sin while in this wicked world. This world is not our home, and we are just passing through. Remember that song? We are just a pilgrim and a fellow laborer of God, and He has promised help to fulfill our duty to God and to men, so long as we have the consecration and willingness to perform them faithfully. We are looking for that blessed hope, which in Titus 1 verse 2 says, "The hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Yes, the blessed hope and confidence of having eternal life has been promised from the beginning of all things, and it is a joyful feeling indeed. And when that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus comes, that hope will be realized. Philippians 3:21 says, our dear Savior shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. As we look forward to soon appearing of our Lord, we will be led to regard all earthly things as least importance, an emptiness and nothingness, for we look forward to a much glorious reward, like Apostle Paul when he said in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So, all who love His appearing will anticipate it with joyfulness and will not love to stay longer in this dying world. It brings us peace and comfort within because we believe that the trials and sufferings we are facing will have end. And because our citizenship is in heaven, we strive to reveal the character of heaven in us, and as we study His words and apply them in our daily life, by God's help and grace, we do not conform to the practices and traditions of the world. So, we are looked upon by the world as odd, singular, extreme, and the world hated. Jesus has warned us in John 15:18 to 20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word what I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Our Lord Jesus has chosen you, me, and all of us who are here for a purpose, to be His followers, servants, and co-laborers with Him in saving souls. He has separated us from the corruption of the world, from the corrupt churches and corrupt practices, to be His pure and peculiar people. And in response, we echo the truth and call others to do the same. Our consistent obedience in keeping the law of God, especially the seven-day Sabbath, will soon be treated as rebellion by the powers that be, who have bowed down to the dark powers of Satan when the mark of authority of the Pope, which is Sunday, the first day of the week, is enforced. So, we must be settled and grounded now in the truth before reaching that final test, for each one of us will surely be tested severely. Choose to obey God rather than man, like the disciples did in Acts 5:29. You and I can choose now to say, I will not receive the mark of the beast. Our pure motives in helping souls to know God will be criticized and condemned. Our best efforts to carry out the truth by exposing the sins of Babylon or apostate and fallen churches will be misinterpreted. Our names and characters will be attacked and will be denounced as evil In fact, this is now happening as we speak, especially to those among us who are working in the front line. So, let's pray for each other, my brothers and sisters. Because as we present and preach the unpopular truth and rebuke errors and sins, many will be offended. John 3:20 tells us the reason why when it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." But we cannot stop now. We cannot draw back. There is no time to be idle, no time to dilly-dally. We have to act and move fast and keep moving forward. Long delays will be defeat and will tire the holy angels. We have a marching order to preach the gospel, and those who follow our Savior will be hated by the world. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." This is our salary. Persecution in different shape and form. This is our paycheck in following Christ. But will this prevent us in following our Lord? Will this stop us in doing our duty? Are we careless or fearful to pass this narrow way? Do we follow Him because it is convenient, and when test and trial come in our life, we change our mind and quit? Christ has pointed us that our steps will not a smooth and easy walk. But will this stop us in loving Christ? No! Romans 8 verses 35 and 37 said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This is the question for all of us, today. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are not losers, but gainers. We are not quitters, but we are more than victors through the strength and power of Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the eyes of men to see and appreciate the gospel of Christ, the good news of salvation, the last message of mercy to the fallen world. Satan knows he only have short time left to meet his doom, and he is very active like never before to cast his deception, especially targeting and attacking true Christians, attacking each one of us, the elect of God. He will try to discourage, to cast fear, to mingle truth and error, to remove the distinction between good and evil, to confuse the truth and cast unbelief and doubt to the present truth that the flock needs now, especially the truthfulness of that glorious gospel of Christ's soon return, because it seems to them the promise is long delayed. But 2 Peter 3:9 shows the reason of the delay and assurance that it will definitely come. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise the Lord, out of love and mercy of God, Jesus delays His coming so we have a chance to prepare and be ready, so that all sinners may have chance to hear the last message of warning, repent, and find refuge in Jesus, the rock of all ages, before the seven plagues will be poured out without mercy, because this is the vengeance of offended God. The parable of Matthew 24 and Luke 12 about the wise and faithful servant versus the evil servant is significant today and has important lessons for us, my brothers and sisters. In Matthew 24, verse 48, we can read the sentiment of the evil servant when he say, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Luke 12, 45-47 give us more details about this evil servant. "But if that servant say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Volume 5 of the Testimony, page 101, describe more the spiritual condition of that evil servant. That evil servant who said in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," professed to be waiting for Christ. He was a servant, outwardly devoted to the service of God, while at heart he had yielded to Satan. He does not, like the scoffer, openly deny the truth, but reveals in his life the sentiment of the heart, that the Lord's coming is delayed. Presumption renders him careless of eternal interests. He accepts the world's maxims and conforms to its customs and practices. Selfishness, worldly pride, and ambitions predominate. Fearing that his brethren may stand higher than himself, he begins to disparage their efforts and impugn their motives. Thus, he smites his fellow servants. As he alienates himself from the people of God, he unites more and more with the ungodly. He is found eating and drinking with the drunken, joining with the worldlings and partaking of their spirit. Thus, he is lulled into a carnal security and overcome by forgetfulness, indifference, and sloth. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has entrusted us this sacred, solemn, and testing truths in this last generation to be given to the world. It is really a great privilege and honor to be chosen by God out of the billion people of the planet to do and handle this great responsibility, to be part of the 11-hour movement, the remnant of our seed. I and my family personally are totally amazed on this great privilege, and I know you feel the same, and may God help us all to be worthy. The coming of our Lord and King is very near, and will delay no longer. We are homeward bound. We are almost home, but we should not be like that evil servant who professed to be waiting for Christ, yet saying in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Let us search our heart deeply. What is the true sentiment of my heart? Do I have the sentiments of the evil servant? God forbid. One of the sins of the evil servant is presumption. Presumption is a daring confidence in the goodness of God without obedience to His will. It is the counterfeit of faith. The evil servant become careless in his spiritual interest. His devotion become cold and formal and become like the scribes and Pharisees who were hypocrites, who appear beautiful without but corrupt within. Matthew 23:27 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Since the evil servant believed the Lord delayed his coming, he became contented to his one talent, and no interest whatsoever and willingness to improve it by burying his one talent to the ground, as Matthew 25:18 says. But he that had received one went and dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So the evil servant is sitting in Satan's easy chair of do nothing. It's like he became contented to listen to sermon after sermon every Sabbath, but do not put the truth into practice. His inactivity and indifference lead him to excuse himself to engage in God's word. He has this excuse and imagine that there is danger in the way. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." The evil servant presumes to be doing God's will, yet excuse himself to work, to be active. And the sad thing is, his example of spiritual laziness contaminates others to be careless and neglectful too. And because of his love of ease and indolence, he is weighed in the balances and are found wanting, according to Daniel 5:27. This sinful neglect of duty needs to be repented of before it's too late. Psalms 19:13 says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Let us pray and ask the Lord to guide our step, that we will not be enslaved by the same sins of that evil servant. Psalms 119:133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Review and Herald, November 13, 1913, says, "Because we do not know the exact hour of Christ's coming, we are commanded to watch. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Luke 12:37. "And those who watch for the Lord's return do not wait in idle expectancy. They purify their hearts by obedience to the truth. With vigilant watching, they unite earnest working, because they know that the Lord is at the door. Their zeal is quickened to cooperate with divine intelligences in working for the salvation of souls. These are the faithful and wise servants who give to the Lord's household their portion of meat in due season. They are declaring the truth that is now especially applicable, as Enoch, Abraham, and Moses each declared the truth for his time. So will Christ's servants now give the special warning for their generation. Now is the time to prepare for the coming of our Lord. Readiness to meet Him cannot be attained in a moment's time. Preparatory to that solemn scene, there must be vigilant waiting and watching combined with earnest work, so God's children glorify Him Amid the busy scenes of life, their voices will be heard speaking words of encouragement, faith, and hope. All they have and are is consecrated to the Master's service. The faithful and wise servants are vigilantly waiting, watching, and working at the same time. This is one reason why we have these prophecy news updates. Watching the signs of the times, the increase in calamities, the Vatican socialist agenda, how the climate change is leading to the enforcement of Sunday law, how the one-world government is being set up against the government of God, and all related stuff. But the majority of people today is occupied in watching sports like Super Bowls, worldly movies, and the likes instead, while others are occupied in watching others to criticize and find fault instead of watching themselves. We are admonished in Mark 14:38 to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. In 60:410, we have a more detailed instruction on what to watch. It says, watch against the stealthy approach of the enemy. Watch against old habits and natural inclination, lest they assert themselves. Force them back and watch. Watch the thoughts, watch the plans, lest they become self-centered. Watch over the souls whom Christ has purchased with His own blood. Watch for opportunities to do them good. Watch, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. Mark 13:36. We have to guard well all the avenues of our souls. Review and Herald May 1, 1900 says, the heart must be faithfully sentineled, else pride and rebellion will bear rule within. Evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will wander in its own homemade fog, all the time charging upon someone else the result of its own unchristian course of action. This earth is destined to be burned by fire, and we are admonished to be fervent in prayers and to have earnest desire to speed up Christ's coming. 2 Peter 3:12 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So, how are we to hasten the Lord's return? There are two things we need to do. Number one, by perfecting our Christian character. Number two, by giving the gospel. Let's talk about number one, by perfecting our character. In Matthew 5:48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. Remember that perfection is possible in this life, just like when Enoch was perfect and translated in heaven alive. In Christ's object lesson, page 69, it says, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Mark 4:29. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall perfectly reproduce in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, our heavenly high priest is now in the most holy place. Jesus is making atonement for each one of us now. We should seek to become perfect in Christ. Let's confess and forsake our sins before the judgment so that the recording angel may write pardon opposite our names. Let us strive and seek to purify our hearts by obeying the truth so that we will be found worthy to be translated when our dear Jesus shall appear. In 40:429, our character will not change, will not be changed when Christ shall come. In 5T 466, it states that the coming of Christ does not change our characters. It only fixes them forever, beyond all change. If we will not strive to be perfect, we can read in 5T 345, no one, not even God, can carry us to heaven unless we make the necessary effort on our part. So we need the perfecting latter rain in every gathering. In Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, the convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. So let's ask the Lord to shower us His divine grace today, this Sabbath day. The second thing we have to do to hasten the Lord's return is by giving the gospel. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Manuscript 75, September 29, 1906. Every feature of the third angel's message is to be proclaimed in all parts of the world. This is a much greater work than many realized. Our missionary enterprises are the one great object demanding our undivided attention at this time. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. In this work, we are to study simplicity. This message is a testing message. Received into honest heart, it will prove an antidote for all the world's sins and sorrows. No conditions of climate, of poverty, of ignorance, or of prejudice can hinder its efficiency or lessen its adaptability to the needs of mankind. All are to hear the last message of warning. The prophecies in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 to 18, are being fulfilled. In the 18th chapter is recorded the very last call to the churches. This call is now to be given. Letters 177-1900 says, in Revelation, the messages that are to be given to the world are plainly stated. When the Lord's servants fail, as they will, to gain admission to the churches, they are to reach the people by holding camp meetings and by distributing our literature. The truth for this time is to shine forth in clear, steady ways. Letters 94-1900. We have the truth which in its proclamation is to bring the crisis for this world's history. The observance of the Lord's memorial, the Sabbath instituted in Eden, the seven-day Sabbath is the test of our loyalty to God. Dear brothers and sisters, we are holding the testing truth on this generation that will bring crisis for this world. God's work in this earth can never be finished until all of us will come together to work and unite our efforts together. United we stand, divided we fall, as goes the saying. Let's not wait for souls to come to us, but like the disciples, we have to hunt the souls, for we are fishers of men. We have no time to lose. Every moment is golden. No more time to be lax and self-serving. Work for the Lord while there is a chance. Finally, my brothers and sisters, let me leave these solemn words in 80, 252-253. As I hear of the terrible calamities that from week to week are taking place, I ask myself, What do these things mean? The most awful disasters are following one another in quick succession. How frequently we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes, of destruction of fire and blood and flood, with great loss of life and property. Apparently, these calamities are capricious outbreaks of seemingly disorganized, unregulated forces, but in them, God's purpose may be read. They are one of the means by which He seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. The coming of Christ is nearer than we when we first believe. The great controversy is nearing its end. The judgments of God are in the land. They speak in solemn warning, saying, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24:44. But there are many in our churches who know little of the real meaning of the truth for this time. I appeal to them not to disregard the fulfilling of the signs of the times, which says so plainly that the end is near. Oh, how many who have not sought their soul's salvation will soon make the bitter lamentation. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's in Jeremiah 8:20. We are living in the closing scenes of this earth's history. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. The hours of probation are fast passing. We have no time, not a moment to lose. Let us not be found sleeping on guard. Let no one say in his heart or by his words, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Let the message of Christ soon return sound forth in earnest words of warning. Let us persuade men and women everywhere to repent and flee from the wrath to come. Let us arouse them to immediate preparation, for we little know what is before us. Let ministers and lay members go forth into the ripening fields to tell the unconcerned and indifferent to seek the Lord while He may be found. The workers will find their harvest wherever they proclaim the forgotten truths of the Bible. They will find those who will accept the truth and will devote their lives to winning souls to Christ. The Lord is soon to come, and we must be prepared to meet Him in peace. Let us be determined to do all in our power to impart light to those around us. We are not to be sad, but cheerful, and we are to keep the Lord Jesus ever before us. He is soon coming, and we must be ready and waiting for His appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see Him and be welcome as His redeemed ones. Long have we waited, but our hope is not to grow dim. If we can but see the King in His beauty, we shall be forever blessed. I feel as if I must cry aloud, "Homeward bound!" We are nearing the time when Christ will come in power and great glory to take His ransomed ones to their eternal home. It is my prayer that we are all blessed with what we heard this Sabbath day. Happy Sabbath.